Hi there, I'm Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, a speaker, a mom of two teens and one emerging adult, and a passionate advocate for family and youth service. While I was researching my second book, Simple Acts, The Busy Teen's Guide to Making a Difference, I learned about so many big-hearted tweens and teens who are volunteering, fundraising, starting nonprofits, and becoming social entrepreneurs and activists. I wanted to hear their stories, and I wanted to celebrate them and share them with the world so that everyone can be as inspired as I am. I hope that after listening to these short episodes, you'll go out into your community and share your light, your talents, gifts, and strengths to help others. Because the truth is, every person can make a big impact, one simple act at a time. On this week's episode, I'm delighted to introduce you to Miari Phillips, a college student in Colorado who started an organization called Green Goddess. Green Goddess creates a space for girls of color to be their authentic selves. As the saying goes, you need to see it to be it. So Miari provides opportunities, education, and experiences so that young girls of color can envision themselves becoming the environmental leaders of tomorrow. Green Goddess provides emotional and social support for the girls through outdoor exploration, holistic healing, yoga, environmental justice action trips, mentorship, and career readiness. This is one of the most impressive social justice programs I've featured on the podcast, and I know you'll be inspired by Miari's passion for this important work. Well, welcome back, everybody. I am excited to introduce you to Miari. Hi, Miari. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. So why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Miari, as Natalie stated, and I am a sociology and psychology major at the University of Colorado. I started Green Goddess a little over 2 years ago, and the inspiration really came from when I did an internship my freshman year of college with formerly known as Millennials for Environmental Justice, now known as Girl Plus Environment. I was working on a project for gentrification, and I really got to see the humanistic side of environmentalism and what that meant for people that look like myself in Black and brown communities. And so I really got inspired by this work and the people that were doing this work that oftentimes wasn't talked about or focused on. Oftentimes I thought of environmentalism as just like saving the whales or like, you know, the tree huggers and things of that nature. And so I was really able to be introduced to a different side of that. And then I had got recommended for a grant with the North Face, and I applied for it. Kind of just taking a chance at the last minute. And that's kind of how Green Goddess came about. I didn't really have a specific project when I was pitching Green Goddess. It was just something that I enjoyed doing as far as going out in the outdoors. And so I was like, okay, this will really be the baseline outdoor exploration. And then I started expanding off of the project.
Amazing. So tell us exactly what Green Goddess is all about.
Yes, Green Goddess is a space for girls of color to really be their most authentic selves through outdoor exploration. We do holistic healing, we do mentorship, we do education. And so we're really looking to cultivate this space for girls to be able to transform and see their whole selves. A lot of times, how I just mentioned, we don't see a lot of people within the outdoor space, and it's not accessible, it's not diversified. And so we really want girls to envision themselves, have that representation, and be able to have accessible programs. And so we offer all of our programming for no charge. And so that is a huge burden on the families and the participants. But then we also think that it's important to provide them with this sense of education, as I mentioned. And so we do things such as teaching them about everything from like gardening and nutrition. And so just a wide variety of things so they can conceptualize their reality, healthy neighborhoods. And at the end of the program, girls are doing a capstone project to see their retention and their growth throughout the program. And so when I did my pilot program, I seen girls teaching a lot of different things such as malaria. I had one participant do something with the swim cap band during the Olympics. And so it was just really empowering to see the learnings that the girls had had from both the education aspect of things and then also being able to do activities they never imagined themselves doing, such as a ropes course or horseback riding.
Right. No, that's amazing. As you know, being outdoors is such a source of energy, peace. You know, they say like, just if you're not feeling well or healthy, healthy or grounded, or if you're, you know, having some confusion or some anxiety, like go outside, right? Be in nature. But that's not always taught. That's not always recommended. And maybe that's, as you pointed out, that might not be always accessible for someone whose outdoor environment is not filled with trees, right?
Absolutely.
Is not filled with flowers and animals and whatever. So explain to us exactly where the programs take place, what communities, how you find the girls, how you enroll them, what are the ages of the girls, how long is the program, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so we started our pilot program in Rochester, New York, and so that was kind of unique just because of the pandemic, and so everyone was home, but we still wanted to provide that unique experience, and so I'm glad that families were able to trust us for that pilot program. We did ages 10 through 14. It was a lot of different outreach. I think that it was just very organic and just like the old school hustle and bustle, going to libraries, rec centers, emailing different schools. And so that was kind of that programming. And then I did a year to just really refine the programming, look for more funding, and really envision how I want the continuation of the program to go. So as I currently stated, I'm in school in Colorado right now. And so currently our programming will take place in Colorado for quite a bit of time. And so that will be for ages 10 through 14, but we're also looking to implement ages 16 through 18 as well, and then do kind of this college programming as well for college girls to see themselves, because I think that, once again, like environmental studies is not a major that a lot of us see ourselves within. And so that's how we could do a lot of our outreach. Our next programming that we're going to be offering will be in Denver, Colorado, and it's called the Youth Yoganistas. And so that'll really be focused on looking at different yoga modalities as healing strategies. And so super excited about that. That'll be taking place during International Women's History Month.
Oh, that's amazing. So how long are the programs typically? Is it a few weeks, a semester?
Yeah, so typically 6 weeks is the time we keep our programming, just for the short time frame and being able to gather weekly or biweekly. And so during our pilot program, we gathered biweekly and then for 6 weeks, but then had a whole bunch of immersion of those outdoor exploration. This will happen every week for programming, and it'll happen once every Sunday, and we'll do it for 2 hours. And so first we'll do the yoga, and then we'll have the environmental education the second hour.
Amazing. Oh my God, that sounds so fantastic. Do you see this kind of continuing? Are you a senior in college or are you a junior?
Yes, I'm a junior. Yeah, I really hope that the organization flourishes. I really hope that it really takes off and continues to expand, and hopefully we continue to expand our team as well. And I think that there's a lot of areas for growth as a new organization, but we just have a huge vision for where I want to see the group go. So.
Sure. I mean, you could become a national, you know, a 501c3 national nonprofit, and you could have Green Goddess chapters, if you will, in every city. Have you learned any lessons? Have there been any, challenges in getting this thing off the ground? I would imagine that there would be, but any lessons learned that you could share?
Yeah, most definitely. I think adaptability is one of the biggest things that I've been able to have to kind of come to terms with. I think that when you have such a big vision, it's easy to, like, you know, sometimes get sporadic or get lost in the things. And sometimes I just have to take a step back and just be like, okay, like, let me look at things from less of a huger vision or a larger vision. And so I think that just being able to go with the flow sometimes. And so throughout my program, you know, when I was doing outreach and I solidified a partnership and it kind of failed and I had to think quick on my feet and like, okay, like who else can I reach out to make sure this goes off? And so that was probably one of the biggest thing. And then I think that just communication style, I think that I have a particular way of communicating, but when you're working with families and different people, I think that it's important to be able to have a variety of different communication skills, especially when doing outreach, because we want to see the success of our participants, because ultimately this is for them. And then I think that, you know, I'm just getting inspired by the girls. I think that just hearing their stories and being able to co-create is so important to me. I think the education system has like a very linear way of doing things. And so making sure that this is innovative and doesn't feel like school is very important to me. And so that's been a challenge because, you know, I'm in college, I've spent all my years within school. And so making sure that, you know, I'm taking a step back to be a student as well and kind of let my girls kind of see what they envision the organization to look like.
Absolutely, because they may come to you with a really amazing idea, or like, this is fine, but we'd rather do this, right? Like, I think listening to them and their views and what they're looking for out of the program and adapting, as you said, that is so, so important. I'm sort of curious, how many girls do you think that you've sort of touched over the course of the time that you've been working? How many have you been able to sort of quantify how many folks have been through the program? And also, have you thought about maybe kind of surveying the girls and seeing, like you said, what are the programs that they're looking for? How might the program grow and change with their input?
Yeah. So through our pilot program, since we've only, that was our initial baseline, and then we did some additional outdoor exploration. That was a total of 15 girls overall, and we did empathy interviews with them. I was in an accelerated program for Green Goddess to kind of figure out different programming and different strategies to be able to see the continuation of our organization. And through that, I was doing different empathy interviews with both participants and their families to see what their needs were and to kind of figure out where the gaps were so we would be able to fill that when making additions to our programming. And so that has been very helpful to just see things that I thought was working well. And then the girls be like, yeah, you know, Miari, this is not going well. Or, you know, this is something that I really want to see, or an addition, or, you know, can I see more of this? Like, I really enjoyed this activity. I would love to see more of this. And so that's very humbling. And I love their additions and their feedback and their criticism. It's all very beneficial. So.
Wow. Well, you seem to have a really wonderful attitude about that, because, you know, this was your idea, this is your baby, and you have this really, you know, wonderful concept, but allowing the kids to sort of have input on it, I think is so critical. I loved what you said too about starting with, you know, the 10 to 14, you know, the 16 to 18 is such an important critical time as well, getting these girls out of their own heads, off of social media, you know, with all of those bad influences, getting them outdoors, letting them more, you know, use their bodies and be in the fresh air. Like, all of those things are so important. And then college, you know, again, envisioning a different world for themselves, a different path. You know, they may not even realize the careers that are available to them, you know, in this realm, in health and wellness and the environment. Can you tell everybody where they can follow you, where they can learn more, if they want to maybe get involved, if they're in Colorado, or if they want to try and become an ambassador for you in their own community?
Yes, most definitely. You can follow us on Instagram at Green1Goddess. Again, that is Green1Goddess. We're always looking for additional support, volunteers, or just anyone that's looking to connect.
Oh, that's amazing. I bet there are probably a lot of volunteers who know yoga, who know gardening, who would love to volunteer. It's funny that you had to say Green One Goddess, because I bet Green Goddess comes up with a lot of, you know, salad dressing and green juices, right?
All right, the time.
So, yeah, we want to be sure that everybody finds you. Well, Miari, thank you so much for taking time to share this story with us. I just love it.
Thank you so much for having me on. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.